Well, what should Delawareans know about that scary coronavirus from China, which was, well, you just heard Peter MacArthur's lead story as the number of deaths proliferates and it continues to spread. Bring in Delaware Public Health Director Dr. Carol Rette. Welcome. We've talked many times on the phone, never met you in person. Very nice. And, well, what is not very nice is the story. What are you learning about it? How many times do you get notification from the Centers for Disease Control in Atlanta and all the rest?
Yeah. First, thanks for having me on. So I should say that this is evolving. So we're getting new guidance and new information from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention on a daily basis. As you just heard, there was an announcement just an hour ago from CDC that there's a second individual in the United States in Chicago who has been found to be infected, and overall 26 deaths and almost 900 individuals who are infected by this virus. This virus is a coronavirus, which for many of us, when we think of coronavirus, we think of the common cold. So it's a pretty common virus. It's a virus that often circulates among animals. So bats, cats, camels, and often goes between animals.
Yeah, well, I'm reading a headline here in the South China Morning Post of Hong Kong. The headline is, scientists debate whether Wuhan coronavirus came from bats or snakes amid joint U.S.-China effort to develop a vaccine. And would that be from just humans coming into contact with the animals? Or, of course, in China, a lot of animals are consumed that humans in most of the world do not eat typically.
Yes, so it's a great question. And it's not clear at this point whether this was spread by consuming an animal that was infected or just near exposure. And in fact, people are thinking it's more likely just near exposure. But the market in Wuhan, where many people were initially infected, is a large seafood market with lots of live animals. And so there's still a bit of work to do to figure out exactly where it came from. But it is not an uncommon way in which, you know, viruses can be spread. What's new about this one is that this is the first time this particular virus has been seen to be spread from an animal to humans. And so initially, all the initial exposures were, it was assumed to be coming from animals to people. But now that we're seeing it spread more widely and spread to people who had no contact with
human
the market.
Human to human now.
Now we can say that there's human to human spread.
You consider international air travel the danger here, the vector by which it gets spread around the world?
Well, I think that is unclear at this point, but it's important to be vigilant about travel patterns. Certainly China is really limiting travel at this point, which I know the timing is a bit tricky with the Lunar New Year, but the reality is it probably is going to make a difference in how this spreads. And the more it can be contained now, the better.
I hate for an American who has saved up all kinds of money to make the once-in-a-lifetime trip to China and the Great Wall, and now, you know, odds of the draw. Do you consider it, Dr. Rette, almost inevitable that we're going to have a Delaware report within a month or two?
You know, it really is hard to know. It truly is. I mean, what is happening, and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention really has is really leaning forward and taking a proactive approach. Screening is taking place in the five major airports in which individuals from China travel to the United States. Now, it's quite possible that somebody could go through the airport without symptoms and then develop symptoms. So we are very vigilant right now in our outreach to healthcare providers and hospitals and EMS and throughout our state to ensure that travel history is taking place with people who have symptoms, and that any possible cases of this are reported to us, and then you know, if appropriate, we get the testing. So we have everything in place to detect it, but it really is unclear. I mean, the person-to-person spread has taken place, but CDC is still telling us that risk of person-to-person spread is still very low.
Yeah, so what advice would you have for an air traveler? I mean, I guess at this point, we're not going to have people wearing face masks, typically.
Right. Well, and here is the reality, and I am certainly not suggesting that we take this lightly, because it is important. But the reality is, we are in the midst of influenza season and, you know, many other infectious diseases. We have 4 Delawareans who already have passed away from influenza this season. So, you know, always getting your flu shot and any other shots like your pneumonia vaccine is important. And then, as always, and especially this time of year, the more hand washing you can do, you know, keep hand sanitizer with you, especially if you're on an airplane or traveling in any public transportation. Just keep your hands clean.
Yeah.
If you cough or sneeze, you know, do it in your elbow or in a tissue.
You know, I kind of saw you going there. I thought you were going to jump the influenza.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, putting this into perspective, we are going to lose more Delawareans from influenza this year, unfortunately, than, you know, that's more likely than seeing a case of this
virus. Well, you know, I always add the tip, once you wash your hands, then be sure you don't touch something that can be potentially infected right away. For example, you know, restrooms, how many times do we see someone who doesn't wash hands and touches the doorknob or the handle? Well, you've just washed your hands, that's great, but then you touch the handle, not going to work. So you basically need a towel or protection when you open or close the door.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, with coronavirus, influenza, you know, these are spread through droplets, air droplets, and those can land on surfaces, or if they're on our hands, we can put them on surfaces. And so again, that's why I guess I'm a big fan of hand sanitizer, because it's pretty convenient, right? You can put it in your pocket, you can carry it around with you, and keep your hands clean. But also, if we keep surfaces clean, that can help. And probably the most important advice for, you know, anyone, if you have a fever, you are ill, don't go to work, don't go out in public. And if you have been traveling to China, please contact your doctor immediately.
And for people just joining us, quarter hour here on Delaware Public Health Director Dr. Carol Rite talking about coronavirus. But of course, she made the point that flu is right now potentially much more contagious and dangerous for you than coronavirus. We shall see. How does this compare with SARS about a decade and a half ago?
Yeah, so it's a similar novel virus that initially spread between animals and then spread to humans. And then there was human-to-human spread. Many lives were lost. And I think a lot of lessons have been learned from that experience. And that's why some of the rigorous proactive reaction worldwide really is happening right now. Screening is happening across, you know, the globe to identify individuals. And this is a much more aggressive approach than was taken initially with SARS.
How about compared to Ebola?
Yeah, so Ebola, in fact, you know, we've spent a lot of time, you know, learning to respond to each of these viruses, and although clearly the person-to-person spread with Ebola happened more readily, so it was quite contagious, also more fatal. So at this point, although 26 deaths are tragic, the fatality rate from this new virus does appear to be much lower. The fatality rate with Ebola was so high that really led to quite a lot of panic. But, you know, in many ways, the approach that we take in public health and the approach we take with the healthcare community is very similar.
Yeah, I completely understand. So as a public health official at this time, 0 to 10, 0 no concern, 10 panic, pandemonium. Where are we on that scale, would you say, with the coronavirus? And of course, still many question marks about it.
Well, if the question is in Delaware, you know,
what? In Delaware.
Yeah, in Delaware. I mean, this is definitely not time to panic. This is not, you know, a time for high anxiety, but it is a time for vigilance. And so, quite frankly, I'd probably put us at about a 3. I think it's really important that we all be tuned in. It's really important that you have, if you've been exposed, if you've been in China and you have these symptoms, talk to your doctor immediately. You know, don't go out into public. But on the other hand, we really don't want people to panic because, you know, person-to-person spread in our state right now is unlikely.
So again, about a 3 in Delaware. How about nationally? 5, 6?
Perhaps.
West Coast?
Perhaps. Yeah. Where there is more more international traffic, perhaps.
Is there a set period? I mean, how long will we have to go? How many weeks or months before we know how pervasive this is going to be?
It is a little bit hard to answer that. I mean, I think this is rapidly evolving because what we're seeing right now is more and more individuals are being found to be testing positive in more Chinese cities. So initially, we were really just looking at Wuhan and with more individuals with more Chinese cities, we're probably going to be looking at more people, screening more people.
Should it not be a surprise that so often with these things, they seem to start up in either China, subcontinent, Africa, or South America? Is that just logical because of the tropical area? Although China isn't so tropical.
No, but there are certain viruses that thrive more in certain environments. Definitely these people call them wet markets. These markets that are very
hot and humid.
Hot, humid. There's a lot of water on the floor and live animals. We have pretty rigorous food safety protections in the United States, which you know is aggravating to some people, I suppose. But although we'd love to eliminate foodborne illness or also spread of infection from animal to animal, we do have protections in place that makes it less likely.
Okay, very good. Dr. Berte, only a few minutes. Let me switch to a completely different topic, if I might, because it came up in New Jersey where legislation would have tightened up regulations on vaccinations for kids, failed in the New Jersey Assembly. There was a massive effort by anti-vax people to torpedo it after what happened in New York State. Your view as a public educator, a public health educator, about the anti-vax movement and about the politics of it and what I'm sure you regard as a kind of a pernicious undercurrent that is undermining public health in the United States?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. So I'm also a pediatrician by background. And so to us in public health and pediatrics, we look at, you know, how infectious diseases have changed over time and vaccines have saved just so many lives and so much mortality and morbidity. Disabilities have been decreased from vaccines, so much healthcare cost. It's one of the most effective and efficient approaches to improving health. So vaccines from our lens are incredibly, incredibly important. I feel very fortunate that in Delaware, we have a really high vaccination rate. Higher than the national average. And, that's thanks to, you know, many individuals, whether it's our healthcare providers or our schools who are vigilant about records. So we have very few people that are even requesting exemptions in our state.
Of course, we've always had some religious exceptions around the country. I think what has happened, how this is metastasized from what I've been able to see, is you got people on the right and the left politically, both sides of the spectrum, who are increasingly suspicious of government and compulsory regulation. And, of course, then all this gets disseminated on the Internet. You know, that wasn't a thing 20 years ago. I'm sure you would agree.
Oh, yeah. So it's pretty frustrating as a scientist and a pediatrician to see what goes out there on the Internet, because there's so much that is not factual. The reality is vaccines are so safe. And it's not to say there might not be an adverse reaction here or there.
It can happen,
fever,
I know.
Seizure, and but they're really uncommon.
Does your office ever get calls about it?
From time to time we do, for sure. And, you know, we're happy to discuss this as an issue with individuals, but we certainly
Have you ever had a politician, a lawmaker call you about it?
As an anti-vaxxer?
Oh, well, just perhaps as confronting constituents who are inclined to go in that direction.
Interestingly, I will say that the anti-vaccine movement is not as invigorated here in Delaware as it is in many other states.
Yeah.
And so,
neighboring New Jersey, so there you go.
Right. It's certainly not to say that it's not a topic of conversation.
Understood.
From time to time.
Well, I couldn't resist asking you about that because it's in the news, as I said, just happened in New Jersey. But we did bring you in on coronavirus. Thank you for your perspectives. Be vigilant, not overwhelmed. I think that's your message. And we'll want to get you on even by phone for updates. But thank you very much, Dr. Carol Rattay.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure to be here.
Pleasure. Delaware's public health director, whom you've heard on the air here on WDEL.